Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back! Woo! We are back!
And I am pumped up because training camp has officially started, and we are ready to start talking a little about actual football going on, albeit practice and no pads until Friday. But nonetheless, we're recording this on Wednesday, July 26th. There'll be a lot more news, I'm sure, even between now and when this airs tomorrow on the 27th. But nonetheless, we have football back. We are practicing. We got games coming up, all that good stuff. We're going to be talking about what we've heard so far from training camp. But before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two. We got Rud Dog.
Yo!
And UJ. Hey,
I just got finished doing 100 up-downs. I was so excited about this. Let's go, baby!
All right. Yeah, you saw the videos, UJ, of them doing the up-downs that we saw last year in Hard Knocks.
I love it.
All the coaches out there, nothing's changed. You got to love it. You know, same messaging, all those good things. But, man, training camp is back, and there's already a lot of storylines emerging. But first of all, CJ Gardner-Johnson, how did you guys feel when you heard the news and he went down? We've been talking to this guy up all offseason, how great of a signing it was, and it sounded like he could have been out for the year potentially.
I was a little like, oh boy, but like, you know, at least it's early. Like, if it's going to happen, right, like before, like the very first day of camp or whatever. But yeah, it's like, that sucks. But luckily I didn't get too excited and heard the turnover of the bad
news. By the time I heard the news, they were already saying it probably wasn't that serious, so I wasn't too panicky about it, actually. So it sounds like he'll be good to go. Sounds like he'll be good
but,
to go.
But, you know, I felt
season.
Yeah, unless just I also felt that that just made me think I'm glad we drafted Brian Branch in the second round.
True.
Yeah, I agree. The Lions are like a few injuries away from not having a lot of depth at that position, but they do have more depth there than they did last year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, by far.
Oh, hell yeah! I mean, like, and that's including like some young up and comers who might be, I think, not so surprising show ups this year. Like that Starling, is that the kid's name? Starling Thomas. I'm really excited to see what he's. I have a good. Like, everything about him sounds like he might be like
Tracy
the next
Walker
Jerry
back.
Jacobs,
let's not forget that too,
if not better. Yeah, Tracy Walker, Kirby Joseph, Will Harris, Brian Branch, Cam Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, Ife Melifonwu. Like we got, and I heard Savion Smith. Like we got like, and like those are like you're starting to get to the bottom of the barrel with Brady Breeze and Savion Smith, but like still, like they're even producing at camp. So I'm just saying, I'm not panicking at all. I feel really good about where we're at.
It just seems like the attitude of that secondary is just with it being not just serious, flipped the switch almost. They're getting that cocky demeanor, and CJGJ just really pumped these guys up. Man, Jacobs is I've never seen Jacobs as cocky as he is right now. He's feeling it. So I think these guys are going to be they're going to be wired, man. Yeah. They're going to be ready to go. It's going to be awesome.
I think so. Especially with what they've added up front in the front seven.
Absolutely. And the Lions have something that I love for training camp, and I think I know this coaching staff loves. There's a lot of competition going on. There's a lot of depth, a lot of guys not only fighting for roster battles, but fighting for starting position. One of the big battles that we're seeing right now, you can't assume that Vitae is going to be the starter at guard, especially with his injury history. And it appears that it is a very, very open competition between him and Graham Glasgow for that second guard position opposite of Jonah Jackson. So do you guys have a preference on who wins that battle, or do you want to wait till
Personally like to see a healthy Corby Solstall. If he's healthy. I know he missed a couple practices or maybe the last practice just because no one really knows. But I'd say all things being equal and him being healthy, I'd take Big V over Glasgow. Although I wouldn't mind seeing Glasgow either because I liked him when we had him before. Would love to see him play again in a Lions uniform. Be a lot of fun. But Big V would be my favorite, I would think.
Yeah, remember, Big V was considering retirement, took a massive pay cut to come back to the Lions for another season. So he is playing with a lot of pride coming back this year because he was considering retiring, ending his career. I mean, Red Dog, do you have any thoughts on this position?
I mean, I guess Big V, probably mainly just because of his relationship with Sewell, and it'd be nice for them to have like a good year together while we actually have the rest of the team in place, unlike the first year he was with Sewell. But, I mean, honestly, my favorite would be if, like, Colby Sorsdahl came out and, like, locked it down somehow and, like, showed he was won the spot. If, like, our rookie won, that would be way more encouraging than anything, honestly. And that would be, like, set us up for future success indefinitely kind of thing. So, I mean, I like all of the guys, and I just want to see the best guy, you know, the best player win. So, I don't really have, like, a real strong preference.
On that note, though,
have you guys heard anything on Sorsdahl?
The stuff I've been reading is that he's getting noticed. He's definitely getting noticed in camp, doing pretty well. For good.
For good or for bad?
No, he's getting noticed for good. For being good. So it looks like this kid's got a lot of potential. And I'd love to see him be in the lineup one of these days. But we'll see. If he wins the job outright, God, that'd be freaking awesome.
He locks it down.
He's going to have to be pretty good.
To me, that would be ideal, honestly. Because then you have him and Sewell next to each other, like two giants. Like, oh, my God. I mean, Vitae's giant, too. But I just like the youth and the fact that we would have a guy developing while being already good, which is usually a pretty nice spot to
be. If you ever
see
the interviews with Sorsdahl, you got to watch this guy. He's pretty funny. He's a pretty interesting guy. So check him out if you haven't seen it.
All right. We'll keep an eye. Just a quick update on the injuries / who's practicing right now. Marvin Jones is not practicing right now. Neither is Emmanuel Mosley, who's on the PUP list. Hendon Hooker also, although the Lions have been very open about Hendon Hooker, he's pretty much like got a red shirt year in the NFL. Just a learning year. They're not planning to play him in the preseason, and he's probably not. Barring like major catastrophe at the quarterback position, he will not be playing at all this year and just learning how to operate an NFL offense. They're basically grooming him to be the long-term backup.
They're basically giving him the J-Mo treatment, though. Like they're being ultra-cautious with him.
Right. That could also be, that's why he fell the Lions in the first place, because of his injury. So the Lions will be getting good value in the long run. So C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we mentioned him. He should be back in a few days, actually, they said. So people were worried about a season-ending injury and now being back in a few days. Not too bad. And J-Mo is also out for undisclosed reasons. Big V injured late on Tuesday. Unclear what his injury is. Hopefully it's not his back. His back is what kept him out all last year. Lions
he's probably
and
done
the back
it,
injuries
the
do not mix well historically. And then Brian Branch, he was out of practice too. He didn't appear to suffer an injury, so it's unclear why he's out. And then Tom Kennedy was also injured on a catch over the middle with Jack Campbell defending him down the
scene. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah. So there's that's kind of the big list of injuries and who's practicing and who's not. But at the same time, when those guys are out, like a Marvin Jones, that leads to other people getting a chance to step up. A guy like Antoine Green, for instance. who's taking reps with the ones today. Your thoughts on this? Oh, and actually, before we get to that, I want your thoughts on the Lions trading a seventh and a conditional six for Denzel Mims. I don't think we got a chance to talk about that on this podcast yet. And I forgot, I was meant to lead off with that and the thoughts on that, but Denzel Mims is also part of this receiver conversation. I'm going to give that grade an A because I'm a big Denzel Mims fan. I think the quarterback situation was horrendous in New York. I don't think he ever got a really good chance. This guy would be the second fastest receiver on the roster per recorded 40 time from the combine besides Jameson Williams, and he's only a tick behind him. But he's got the size as well, and he was immensely productive in college. I think the ceiling is really high in this guy, and for what the Lions gave up, which I don't think was much,
They risked nothing.
Very, very, very low risk. But
because if he doesn't make the roster, there's like no hit at all. Right. I don't think they give up anything.
It was a risk-free trade.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't going to get him in waivers, and so they really, they traded a seventh round for a sixth round or sixth round for a seventh, whatever. It's just ridiculously
conditionally
ridiculous. It was nothing.
Clearly, his time was maybe up in New York.
So, what do you guys think? Do you think he makes a roster, and do you like his upside?
I mean, I love the upside. That's obvious. I mean, with Ben Johnson, new environment, this Lions team, and the personnel, and just the entire culture here, I think will likely draw the best out of him. So, I mean, I love it. Like a high upside, low to zero risk trade is like always a win, right? Like you just get to kick the tires on someone who might make some serious influential plays for you.
Yeah, the Lions have had a little luck with projects like that, revival projects, if you will. Charles Harris was former first round pick who fell out of favor. Kowalski was the same way with Atlanta. You know, they changed the scheme on him, all of a sudden he fell out of favor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even Jared Goff, for that matter. But
Kowalski.
I mean,
Kaminsky?
You know, they had a little...
Kowalski.
I know. But if we have any new listeners, they're going to have no idea what he's talking about.
That's why I think I love this. Like, that's why the Lions are set up for greatness, because they are the people who develop talent. So it's like, you can't... When you can develop talent, you can find all kinds of people, like players in the league who are looking for a chance to, you know, find the right situation.
And NFL coaches love nothing more than saying, I can fix this guy. I can be the one that gets this guy to reach.
That's like women when they marry men, right? Like
definitely
women
a feather
when they
in
marry
their
men,
cap.
They can fix this guy. He's got so much potential.
Maybe.
UJ. I mean, make an analogy.
I don't know.
Exactly like that, UJ. Coaches, NFL coaches are basically just women looking for a man to fix. Oh my goodness.
Well, anyways,
thanks for explaining to the listeners too about Kowalski. Yeah, appreciate that. Love it.
Yeah, well,
Kaminsky, Kowalski. What's the difference?
None. So.
he's really derailed Big Z.
You lost me on my attendance. Who is playing? Okay. There's something that's come out that's really excited me, and this is something that we talked about in the last episode about what we're looking at training camp, and that is Jack Campbell taking on more leadership, taking on more reps with the ones. And the exact quotes I wanted to see are coming from Anzalone, just about how Dan Campbell learning to grasp they already say he's smart. He's pretty much got the offense down. It's a matter of just confidence, like just built every day.
Does he have the defense
against these
down?
Guys, you build your confidence each and every day as a rookie.
Yeah.
And
it'd be more beneficial, I think.
Kelvin Shepard says it's an open competition for starters. I mean, it'd be shocking if Anzalone wasn't the starter. But they like to say that stuff, you know. They got to build the competition. But Campbell has looked great in the run so far in practice. Now, again, no pads yet. But he's also looked very good in the pass as well, which is really exciting. If you can build on that.
Which was to be expected,
you know,
I think.
This guy might exceed any expectation by the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I think like I love what I'm seeing with him, but like that whole room honestly might be my favorite camp battle right now, because it's really interesting. It's so deep after him. Like, you got Campbell, Anzalone, Barnes, Rodrigo, Maben, and that I'm probably missing someone, but that Trevor Noah's kid really intrigues me too. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he's his size speed combo, but like that room, like, it's going to be so interesting to see how it fit falls. I think you got to expect Jack to be a day one starter. I honestly predict it's going to be him and Anzalone as the initial two that step on the field. I just think Jack's going to be just that good, because it's going to be really hard, because I think Barnes and Rodrigo are also both going to have really good seasons, but just not as the starters.
Yeah, and there was talk about, like, how do you get Rodrigo out there if he's not one of the two linebackers? Can you play him somewhere else, like rushing off the edge? I don't know.
Well, he allegedly is working better in pass coverage. I mean, you can use him as a weapon. His speed, his size, like, you can, you know, he can do some coverage things, not ideally because of his height, but he's quick, so he can keep up with a lot of dudes. Right. But, like, as a blitzer, as a run stuffer, as just a rotational guy, you can find reps for a guy like him. Same with Barnes, especially if he's developing like everyone seems to think he is. Like, you're going to find roles for those guys. You got to have to be able to spell the starters, and there's different scenarios where their skill set might be better than Anzalone's or Campbell's or something. But they'll find place for him. And like, Anzalone was talking about that today, how like Shep finds a way to put these guys out there. If they can play, they'll find, and like, even if it's like in a certain only like scenario or rotational role, or like if there's reps out there for him, he'll find them. And I think those guys will definitely find a way on the field.
Gotcha.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, UJ, who do you think is our two starting linebackers?
I'm going
to kind
of go with Campbell and Anzalone. I think that's just going to be. Rodrigo and Barnes will see some playing time, as like you said, rotational, like Red Dog was saying. But starters are going to be, I think, Campbell and Anzalone. I don't think you can keep those two guys on the field. But what I find interesting, I'm just going to throw this in a little bit, that with their scheme now, they're talking about, you know, these edge guys are going to be dropping back into coverage. Our linebackers are going to be rushing. We got, what's our new safety's name? His name's escaping me right now, but no.
CJGJ?
Branch.
Or Branch.
They're going to be using him as like a third linebacker or a fifth linebacker or whatever. He's going to be playing up in the box a lot. It's going to be real interesting to see how they scheme some of this stuff. Blah. With the talent they have now. But to answer your question simply, though,
I have a weird feeling.
Campbell and Anzalone, I think, are going to be the two starters.
Sorry.
All right. I like it. Another guy that's been getting some first-team reps is Broderick Martin, a third-round defensive tackle. Now, I don't know. You know, some of these guys, they just want to get first-team reps to see how they look. But it's still, you know, good to see him competing. Knocked down a couple passes, I've read as well, in some of the red zone drills. So maybe some good awareness there that we didn't necessarily see him film before.
It was kind of funny. Did you see Sudfeld talking about him?
Yeah. What, that he needs to get taller?
He's like, no, yeah. Sudfeld's like, oh, he's like taller. He's like, look, I'm like a little big brother almost. Martin's a big dude. He's a monster. So if he's batting passes down already, that is a really good sign for someone like him, because I don't think anyone's expecting him to actually get to the QB all that much. Mm-hmm. But if you can be influencing passes without getting to the quarterback, that is huge.
Yeah, that's good. Kind of.
Definitely. And
That's just kind of a knack thing, too. You know, like, it seems like some linemen just sort of develop a knack for Well,
J.J. Watt.
He's the first one that comes to mind, but there's plenty of other guys, too, that just have a way of doing that. But, that'd be nice. Be a nice development.
It is an art. And a big reason why NFL scouts and such like tall quarterbacks to get over those guys, because you see it all the time in these replays and such, how close so many of these quarterbacks are coming to hitting those arms in front of the line when these guys get their hands up. I mean, because these are NFL defensive linemen. They're all 6'4", 6'4", 6'6", or above. They're all super tall, getting their hands up there. It's truly a skill to throw around that.
Yeah.
And even if Sudfeld's struggling, he's 6'6". Like,
right. Yeah, exactly. But I don't know why, also, a reason why a guy like Baker Mayfield doesn't do as well.
Right.
I heard that
it wasn't just Martin, right? It was like other people. There was like multiple knockdowns by the whole D line. I think it sounds like they're kind of stressing it. So it's a good focus. I like it, especially with the height we have on our D line. Like,
absolutely.
We have so many tall dudes. Like Hutch 6'7", Kaminsky 6'5", Broderick 6'5". Freaking.
And just as a note, this is no pads yet. No pads yet. So we're
getting the hands up or something you can measure now, though. So
for sure,
it's good stuff. Sure. Wait, did you see the defensive line breakdowns on how they were doing starting and like rotation at the ends?
You can inform me.
Yeah, it's Hutch and Charles Harris are the starters, and then it was. Romeo Okwara and John Kaminsky were the backups. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Kaminsky and Pascal, and then Romeo Okwara and James Houston on the thirds, with Julian Okwara getting split time, which just kind of confirms that he's sort of that last man hanging on right now. I think that he can change it. It's still early, but the fact that he's getting the last odd ends, I just think that's an interesting lineup. Charles Harris being the number one across from. I guess that was what he was at the start last year, right? He was the one.
Well,
and he started off great.
Yeah, because Cora was a one, right? And then hurt.
Cora wasn't healthy to start the season.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah.
It was Charles Harris. Remember he had the safety against with the Commanders, was it?
You're right.
Yeah, so in Houston, third string, which is like, damn. But, I mean, it's all fluid right now.
Right. I mean, Houston's got a long way to go, at least compared to last year for his run game stopping. He was not good in that, but he's an elite pass rusher,
but a
subpar run stuffer. But
I think he styled his game after Patrick Willis coming out.
He does seem like one of those guys that just works his ass off.
What about Patrick Willis?
He's trying to get better. Houston. He really seems like.
Yeah. Dedicated. Well, because
No, that's right.
Go ahead. Sorry, you did. No, he came when he was. Before he went to. Or I think it was before. What's his name? Showtime. The coach at.
Deion Sanders.
Who coached him. Yes, thank you. Deion Sanders. Before Deion recognized his potential as an edge rusher, his guy he looked to was Patrick Willis. He saw himself as a full three-dimensional, you know, all-down linebacker, but that wasn't his strength. But it sounds like he's still really working on that. And if he can develop that side of his game, because you see some of the stuff he can do. Like, maybe he wasn't great in run support, but I still can't keep that play out of my mind when he came up and closed on freaking Fields rolling out the flat that one time from depth when he just shot into the backfield like a freaking rocket, like that kind of shit. Like that translates. If you can, that like reminded me of like Troy Polamalu or something. Like that's special. And if he can just get the rest of his instincts and just kind of see the field, like this kid's upside is so tremendous.
Well, I have no fear that he's going to make the team.
Our problem with him is how long can we retain him, because we cut him on his off his rookie contract last year. So we had to re-sign him. So I don't know. Like I think he's going to come up for a contract pretty soon, if I'm not mistaken. Is it after this year?
I can look that up.
I don't know what we re-signed him to.
But
I don't think it was very much at the time, because he was still just coming back.
You asked Justin Fields. Did you guys see that Cole Kmet got 4 years, $50 million? I just think that's
Cole?
Too much.
Wow.
The tight end for the Bears.
Not even like the most like elite tight end.
Well, Travis Kelce is probably like one of the few that warrant that, but he's more of a wide receiver.
Or like him
than
or Kittle or something, maybe. Like,
I just like seeing our opponents overpay at stupid
positions. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a good player.
They also did an inside linebacker this offseason, too. So I like to see that they're not using their money wisely, which is encouraging.
Definitely.
Let me look it up here. So we got contract. I'm on overthecap.com, going over to the Lions. Well, I'll update you in a moment on that. But I also wanted to bring up Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Is he going to take even the next level this
year? I think so.
Compared to a couple of years. Can he be the top wide receiver for yards this season in the NFL? Or do the Lions just spread it around too much?
Well,
they do like to spread the ball around a lot.
It sounds like they're going to start utilizing him with deeper concepts this season, and I think that's the big thing. You have to take some shots with him. Otherwise, I don't know, but like anything's possible with him. It's hard to put a cap on his potential. I see like Jerry Rice level potential in him. Like he could be one of the all-time greats. He's not the most talented.
This is drinking the blue Kool-Aid.
I'm just saying, like he has that kind of cap. Like he's not freaky. Like he's not like a Calvin Johnson who's like 6'5", like built like a DN, but that also results in you getting destroyed by safeties and linebackers all the freaking time. Like he's built well to like have a really long career like Jerry Rice did, and he's got that just dogged, just determinate work ethic to like that. I'm not going to bet against this kid achieving the highest levels.
Have you seen a picture of him year in camp? He's jacked, man. I mean, he's getting so much better every year, he's so dedicated, and so his work ethic is, I don't think there's anyone that even comes close to it, and he just wants to be the best. He desires to be the best. He craves being the best, and yeah, I see nothing but good things, and also the good thing, early word in camp is that him and Goff are like on the same wavelength, man. They're just like, you know, an avatar when you put the freaking braid on the tree thing, you know? Like that. Yeah. They don't have any braids or anything like that, but if they did, they would be like putting them together.
Are you saying they're having sex. Avatar
like
sex?
Being on the same wavelength, you know what I mean? Their mind.
They're linking their minds
like that.
Jay. I got you. My
Thank
mind
you.
Is not
Thank
in the gutter.
You, but yeah, they're hitting it really good right now. So it's good sign. Good sign for things to come, I'd say.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I see.
Absolutely. And I got an answer on James Houston for you, free agent after this year.
Yeah, see, like that kind of is hard because we're
going
to have to pay him a lot earlier.
To him.
It was. So, I mean, if he produces again this season like he did last year, I doubt we keep him on his rookie contract anyway. If he builds on what he did last year, like if he, let's say he actually, his stats project, you know, across this season, and he's putting up like 16 sacks or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that boy's going to be hard to hold on to on a rookie contract. He's going to want a deal. you know, so, like, because that's elite production. I mean, it might have hurt us, but it might not have mattered at all in the long run. We'll see what happens. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be a bad problem to have if he goes off this year.
Nope. Not a bad problem at all. Not a bad problem at all. You know, it's funny, and we mentioned the offense so far, and we haven't mentioned a guy that's been tearing it up. Again, we haven't gotten to pads yet, but yeah. Sam Laporta Kachinian just looks really good in this offense. And I've read like he missed a couple pass blocks, but his receiving has been elite compared to what the Lions have had in the past. This is kind of like what we hear about T.J. Hockenson in the offseason, too, from the tight end position, how good he looked. So carrying it over the regular season, we'll see.
We'll see. I think he's going to be better than Hock was. But
mainly because of his speed and his route running.
Is that the Kool-Aid? Is that the Kool-Aid speaking?
No, I think he's a better athlete. I just think he's a more gifted athlete all around in ways that Hock – just not like that Hock is by any measure a slouch. I just think Laporta is better. He measured better. His agility and break tackle ability is just better than Hock's ever been noted for. I just think he's going to be better.
Fair enough. Do we think we see him a lot? Do we think we see him down there on three downs consistently to start off the season? Or is he going to be there on third down to start and then work him in more to early downs?
You mean we'll see him on all three downs or he'll be out there all three downs?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there'll be such a rotation that I don't think he's going to be like a getting every snap on offense type guy, but I do think he'll be viable on every down.
Do you think we see more two tight end sets this year?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, especially with him because I think he'll split out as a wide receiver and stuff. His ability, he could easily run routes out of the slot with his quickness and stuff. I think he's going to be utilized in ways that will still, leave roles for Brock Wright and James Mitchell to play.
Yeah.
Without being redundant.
Fair enough. I'm really excited to see. I mean, we've talked about him a lot. Sam Laporta in this offense, what he's going to add. I talked about what I think he could provide over the middle, and we mentioned last episode. The screen game also opens up a lot more with him, and then you throw in Jahmyr Gibbs too. I mean, defenses are going to have nightmares defending this offense this year.
I still think that's the thing. I may have mentioned it before. I don't know. Sometimes we've talked so many Lions conversations. Sometimes I forget if I talked about it on the pod or if to someone else. But I still think one of the underrated things is what he's going to provide as a blocker in space to free up someone like Jahmyr Gibbs.
Mm.
With his athletic ability, he can get out there in space. And that was one of the things they noted right on the draft. Someone Ant talked about how he's an underrated blocker, and I think that'll be one role where I think he shines a bit. Maybe not necessarily great at doing straight up blocking as a pass blocker or just run blocker off the line, but pulling out into space, taking out cornerbacks or safeties, that kind of stuff, or pulling through the hole. He's built sort of a fullback, a little taller, but
absolutely. And one of the reasons Lions got T.J. Hockenson at 10th overall is because he's supposed to be an elite blocker. And, we mentioned so many times on this podcast, but he never was that. So they're not really losing much in that regard at the position in terms of the blocking skill. So I do think he could be better than T.J. Hockenson as well. Road Dog, I'd agree with you.
Yeah. I am excited to see what Mitchell does this year, though, because I think he's one of those kind of untapped resources where he's got some serious upside as a mismatch weapon. Big and fast,
yeah,
as he is.
Well, he was injured last year, for part of the year, and he was making a comeback from a knee injury. So, see him fully healthy, see Pascal fully healthy, see some of these guys fully healthy that weren't before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many positive things happening right now with this team. It's almost hard to pinpoint what the best thing is going. it's good right now.
And that's why talking about Jameis's suspension and stuff just doesn't really sit too heavy, I feel like, over this team. I feel like it's just something they have to deal with, and it's, it is what it is. Next man up, and there's so many men to step up that, whether it's the receiver room itself or the tight ends or the running backs, there's just too many weapons on this team to, be too worried about any one.
Definitely. Definitely. And one of the more fun comments I saw out of training camp so far was from David Montgomery, actually, talking about Ben Johnson, how he has learned so many different things about offense that he never thought of so far in his four-year career. It speaks to two things. First of all, what we already know about Ben Johnson, really smart guy. People speak highly of him. But second of all, the Bears' offense sucks. if he's learned all these things that, you know, I think that just speaks to how poorly run that that coaching staff has been in David Montgomery's time over in Chicago. So I thought that was just a fun comment that spoke
and think how
lowly about the Bears without saying so directly, and then also highly of the Lions, like a win-win comment for me.
Well, I have a feeling, like, not to like downplay the diss against the Bears, but I have a feeling most people who come into contact with Ben Johnson will find themselves illuminated on offensive schemes in the NFL because, like, even people who know football, like, it sounds like this dude just has another level of just understanding of the game and stuff. And like, it sounds like we're gonna have a hard time holding on to him. Have we talked about it? We might have mentioned it, but like the whole Zach Thomas Zach Thomas, like, talking about how brilliant he saw Ben Johnson, like, brilliance back, like, when he coached with him on another staff and stuff, and like when he was just coming up, like, this dude is, his brilliance has been noted earlier in his career. Like, there's a reason he was brought on to the Lions and Dan Campbell brought him in, because he's been like recognized as an up and comer.
Zach Thomas, the old linebacker from Miami?
Yeah, I think so. No article I've read has clarified what Zach Thomas. He's a coach.
Well, he did still work somewhere in the Miami league. So is Zach Thomas? Time, I think. And
well, like, what happened was awesome. Yeah, like he knew Dan Campbell and he knew Ben Johnson, and like already kind of saw the potential in both of them. Oh no, he knew Jared Goff. He coached Jared Goff as a quarterbacks coach during the Super Bowl run. And anyway, like, this story is a little old because we might have talked about it, but it was like the whole they had their weekend off a few weeks back, and Zach Thomas and Jared Goff were going to meet up as friends. Oh, no, Ben Johnson and Zach Thomas were going to meet up as friends and have dinner in L.A. or something, and then Jared Goff was free too, and Ben Johnson found out, so they took the whole weekend together, canceled his plans with Zach Thomas, and they just dove into every aspect of the Lions playbook and, like, just dissected it ad nauseum with, like, a super structured schedule and everything. You didn't hear the story?
Yeah.
It's freaking awesome to me. Like, that's another reason to just be so psyched about this season. That mind meld, you want to talk about the mind meld that's really going on this team? It's Ben Johnson and Jared Goff. That's what's really going to be the engine of this offense this year. And the fact that they're putting in that kind of work voluntarily, like, that just gets me so damn excited.
Excited there, Red Dog. Look pretty excited. Damn.
Oh, I'm excited. He does.
Absolutely. I typed in Zach Thomas, Ben Johnson on Google. I did not get any articles, but I believe you, Red Dog. I like that story.
Thanks, Z. Oh, my God. I put myself in this.
Yeah, so share it on your social media. It's Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Or, I'm sorry, X.
It's because you're too busy being a dad and not reading Lions news. Yeah, come on.
What do you guys think about Twitter being X now?
I'm excited. I'm just kidding. I don't care. I never cared much for Twitter to begin with, so it doesn't mean much to me.
We should care. Why don't you care? You should care more.
About Twitter?
I don't know.
I mean X?
Yeah. I don't know. What else did I want to touch on today? Oh! Teddy Bridgewater. The Lions continue to bring up his name. He continues to be linked to the Lions. He's just sitting around there, kind of. To take Nate Sudfeld's job? I'm not sure what the Lions are planning with Teddy Bridgewater. Like, why this is still swirling. I'm kind of confused. Like, what if he was going to come to the Lions, why isn't it?
Yeah, and they're talking like Sudfeld's playing really good right now in practice, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that about everybody.
But I have a feeling it's Teddy Bridgewater leading the dance. I mean, we don't need him, but he has really all the leverage in the sense that,
I mean, Dan Campbell's, like, been speaking highly of him in press conferences.
But yeah, like, recording him. Like, he's the kind of guy that, like, he has enough clout in this league to, I feel like, sit around and kind of pick his shot. Like, someone's going to need a backup quarterback, at some point this season. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's in any urgent rush to get on start a season roster. I just don't like. I think he's kind of got the backup quarterback journeyman thing down, and he can wield a little bit of power because his reputation is so strong. Like, I mean, you think of him, and people automatically think, you know, top tier backup, low tier starter, right? Like, so I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think he's in any rush to sort of like Sue, like, you know. Pick his team. Maybe he'll get a quarterback, a Super Bowl run type thing. He's in no rush. That's my theory anyway. And we don't need him. We're not in any rush either to get him. So
yeah, I don't think we are. That's what confuses me most about it all.
Well, I think they want to add to the competition. Like, because if you add someone like him, like it only pushes everyone to be better.
And he does have more of a resume than Sudfeld as far as he's played a lot of games and
certainly had
some success.
Yeah,
won games.
Fair enough. So, I mean, Sudfeld said that the Lions have been in constant communication with him about signing Teddy Bridgewater one way or another. So, there's that, too. Otherwise, you know, this is the early part of training camp. Did you guys have anything you want to touch on that I didn't have in my outline?
But I know you guys can't really say much because you didn't see the show. There's a show called Quarterbacks out there produced by Peyton Manning, which follows the lives of three quarterbacks through the whole season last year, Marcus Mariota, Kirk Cousins, and Patrick Mahomes. And it's quite a fascinating look into their lives as quarterbacks and as just people. And this one of the episodes, they go into the playbook and stuff. You would not believe these play calls they make. It's just un-freaking real. Some of these, like, it's such another language, man. It's so... Some of these play calls are just absolutely bizarre. I don't even know how you remember half the stuff they it's just so crazy. I couldn't
give
even
us an
do
example.
It. I'd like to try, but it'd be really hard. And
did I miss something? Are we sponsored by Peyton Manning?
I just wanted to bring it up for the reason that I thought it was a fascinating look into the which makes me even more curious now because if they continue this show on. I'm sure they'll go on with different quarterbacks, so I'm just trying to think who I would like to see next year, and I'd like to see Jared Goff, and I'd like to
see Jared Goff.
What's his name from the Bengals? I would like to see,
Joe
I don't
Burrow.
Know. It was just an interesting show, so if anybody seen it out there, if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. But it's a good watch. It's only like, it's 80 episodes.
UJ recommends.
UJ, here's one play call. Green right, X shift to Viper right, 382, X stick lookie. That's one call that's in the show I'm reading on here.
It's so obvious what that means. I don't get how you follow.
It's just amazing, though, some of these things.
I had something.
Who did?
Matt Stafford.
Oh, really?
Quarterback show, but he declined.
Bringing up Matt Stafford. Have you heard about his situation going on over there in L.A.? Where they tried to ask him to, like, take a pay cut so they could rebuild this team.
Interesting.
And he said no.
Oh. Aaron Rodgers just took a big pay cut with the Jets. That was interesting. Like, several million. Like,
did he? Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, what's his point? What's the point of being there if you're not, like, even extending his career at this point if he ain't trying to win at all?
His salary cap hit this year is $1.3 million. That's what he cut it down to. It's deferred to future years, but he doesn't need the money right now, clearly.
I also have a.
I thought that was interesting. And Herbert got paid a bag, 5 years, $265 million, and Burrow's expected to go higher than that. And that's after Patrick Mahomes. Actually, the Patrick Mahomes deal looks great now. 10 years, $450 million. Dollars. A lot of that was up front, too, so it's going to be cheaper down the line. And don't forget, the Lions only have 2 years left on Jared Goff's deal. So, that's another thing the Lions has to consider. He's already the highest paid guy on the team, and if he plays like he did last year, he will be on a very, very cheap deal. Compared to the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFL. So just something to keep a lookout for.
Yeah. I have something else I wanted to address, too, just because I'm really excited about it. They launched their Inside the Den is coming up with their first F. They announced it's coming mid-July, so it should be soon.
That's the Detroit Lions version of Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah, like, well, I mean, no, it's just there. Yeah, I mean, kind of. Like, but like, they do it year-round, but, like, I'm excited because I think this year they're going to try to take a lot of the lessons from Hard Knocks, because I think it's worth noting that the Lions are setting the standard for, like, multimedia as a team, in my opinion. Like, the way they're covering everything, the little social media things they do are just, I think, brilliant. And I'm really excited to see what they do with this Inside the Den for their training camp edition. Cause I like, come on, they got to at least show us some, like, someone doing, like, a damn rookie song or something, right? Like, I'm really excited to see, like, Jack Campbell do it because he's so, like, quiet and reserved. Like, I would love to at least hear the story or see, but, like, I don't know. I'm excited, you know, like, because they've done a really good job with that, and they had the Hard Knocks to learn from last year. Like, I don't see how you don't capitalize on that and do your own version of sort of Hard Knocks.
Did you see the video of Jack Campbell's girlfriend jumping off the back of the boat and tackling him off the wakeboard?
No.
No? What?
Yeah, he was wakeboarding, and then his girlfriend jumps off the back of the boat to tackle him. video I
sounds
saw,
like you got a keeper
summer.
There.
Yep. So maybe he's got some personality. I don't know who posted that. I don't know if he did or what, but I saw it floating around.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, he probably shouldn't be doing that too much, though. That sounds like risky behavior. We don't need him being like Joseph Fourier or something, tripping on his damn dog.
Nah.
DeAndre Levy getting hurt while parachuting or some shit.
Joseph Fourier, that did not last long, did it?
It was talk about, you know, stars burning the brightest or the shortest or whatever. Like, holy smokes, he had what a stretch. He was just put a touchdown machine for, like, what was it, like, half a season or something? And then he got hurt his ankle chasing his dog around his house and then just never was heard from again. Like, and he had, like, a whole personality thing going, and, like, it was like he was a fan favorite. He was. And who was his bash brother? Yeah. Was it the kicker? Wasn't it like
no punter, right?
Or the punter. Or who was it? Sam Martin.
Sam Martin, yeah, I think it was Sam Martin.
Sam Martin were like buddies, and that was like the whole relationship. And then, like, man, talk about a bummer, though. Yeah, he really, talk about flaming out.
The last the football world has seen of him is he attempted a comeback with the Arizona Hotshots in the Alliance of America Football League that then ended up getting terminated during COVID. But, he didn't even make it to COVID because he got cut before the season started in January of COVID year.
Must have been the worst ankle injury ever. Like, what the heck happened?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Same with DeAndre Levy.
It's fun while it lasts.
Short but sweet.
Well, yeah. Levy had a little more success than Fourier.
Yeah, he had a few years.
Yeah,
one Fourier great year.
One year.
One just spectacular year, though. That year, I just a little reminiscence a little bit. That year, that defense with DeAndre Levy and Dominican Sue, was it Kyle Vandenbosch, Ezekiel Ansah? Did we still have Cliff Averill then, or did he leave? Either way, that defense, Tulloch, Glover Quinn. Oh, man, that was, like, such an awesome defense. Slay.
Especially in the run game. Diggs? It was one of the best run defenses in the NFL in a while.
So good.
Their numbers went up a little at the end of the season to get away from historic numbers, but they were very, very, very good.
Yeah, if only we didn't have Joe Lombardi as our coordinator.
I still can't believe he got hired again by another NFL team with a promising young quarterback.
It's so unreal. I guess when you got the name Lombardi in the NFL, just nothing sticks to you, huh?
I suppose. Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense.
But again, Matt Patricia was made the offensive coordinator of the Patriots. So tell me how that makes sense.
I will say this. God. You know, UJ, you never liked Jim Caldwell too much. But if that same situation happened under Dan Campbell, we saw it with Anthony Lynn. If it wasn't working, he fired him mid-season. He got rid of him. Jim Caldwell openly spoke about, after he got fired, that he knew midway through the season that it just wasn't vibing well. They had two totally different ways to prep for these games. Like the Saints like to prep the night before, and Jim Caldwell wanted it weeks in advance and stuff. Like just the totally different pages in how they operate. And Jim Caldwell stuck with him through the whole season. It cost him. If they changed,
you're talking about Lombardi?
Yes. I'm talking about Jim Caldwell not being able to fire Lombardi.
Oh, I never heard that story. That's fascinating. I didn't know Jim Caldwell talked about that.
So he even sucks more than I thought.
Yeah, that was
either him or Lombardi. I can't remember who talked about it, but
I mean, the problem with that was probably the fact that they were winning. It's hard to fire someone when you're winning.
Yeah, because they had an elite defense that year.
Well, they had an elite defense. They had Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and
speaking of Mike,
Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and maybe the most important piece was Theo Riddick, because all those damn comebacks, that saved us so many times.
Yep.
That kept Lombardi's job. He rode those excellent talents.
Definitely. Well, we are going to wrap this up. And, you know, this is just the beginning of training camp. I always come on here thinking, all right, we're just going to keep it, short. We don't have too much to talk about. It's the beginning of training camp. And then here we are at minute 50. So
perfect.
We can talk about the Lions another 2 to 3 hours, until,
until we fall asleep.
Until there's enough Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid's run dry. anyways, nonetheless, the Kool-Aid never runs out. What am I talking about?
That's right.
I want to thank the listeners for tuning in here, getting ready for this upcoming Super Bowl season for the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot wait to follow along with you. Now that we're in at the start of training camp, Friday is when the pads go on. We're going to hear a lot about ups and downs of training camp. Can't wait to hear all that. We want to thank our producer, Kid J. All right. Thanks, Kid J, for producing the podcast. And thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. Twitter or X at Drinking Lions. Twitter is easier to say than X on a podcast to me. It's smoother. Anyways,
so what is an X? What's the verb now? Because it used to be I tweeted. What do you do now when you put out an X? I X'd.
X'd?
Dude, I X'd out today.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
I don't know. Some people crossed because X crosses things. I don't know. Cross? No. I don't know. we'll see. We'll see what the...
It's like when they changed the Sears Towers to Willis Tower,
There was a lot of people who were saying that, actually, when they announced the X change. Hey, people still call the Sears Tower the Sears Tower, even though it's called the Willis Tower now, or I think even something different now.
Now is Twitter available? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Can we go get that domain name? It's such a weird concept, because it's like an institution at this point.
Right. Yeah, it's very... odd that you buy something for $44 billion and then decide to change the name. You bought something that was worth this much money. Now you're just going to rebrand it.
If you have Elon Musk money, you can do anything you want. It's...
Yeah, I suppose so.
His little hobby.
It's true. Yeah, his little multi-billion-dollar hobby.
Well, it'd be fascinating to follow what's going on there. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Oh, that was the other... Yeah, X.com. Is actually owned by Meta, which is the Facebook corporation. So, and they just came out with Threads, which is like a Twitter rival.
What in the world?
But anyway, I thought that was interesting. We're going off on a tangent here. Right when we're wrapping up the podcast.
This is what people stick around for, Z. They want to hear
I have nothing else. We'll be back next week talking about the first week of pads and all the other news that comes along with that. We're really excited. Again, it's the first week of training camp. NFL season is about 40 days away, 43 days away. and I was doing math in real time there. Really exciting for the listeners. I want to thank everybody for listening.
If you're still listening now, you guys really are
yeah, you really do drink the blue Kool-Aid if you're still listening now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, Go.
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 What?
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Go.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.